90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. So tune in for some awesome Native music. And we should have a guest calling in as well about an issue that happened this past week. Well, it's been going on for a while, but recently stirred up issue regarding Native mascots, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Right now we'll get started with some music, and this is some Clark Tenhangfa. Thank you for listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Ya ya ya, be with me. Hey-I-O-A. Or am I just a shoulder to cry when she leaves you tonight?
That was Fawn Wood off her latest CD, and we started off with Sun Clark Tenahongva for you guys. All right, well, like I said, you know, there's a lot of native mascot issues going on across the country, and as well as here in Kansas and Missouri area, and I wanted to talk about this story that happened this past week, so I invited Madison McKinney, who's a senior at Lawrence High. Madison, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so, you know, I noticed, I'd seen your video that you had posted. So you're a basketball player at Lawrence High?
Yes, I am a member of the basketball team.
Okay, and so you had posted this video of a game you had played in, it was here in outside of Kansas City, and it was at Shawnee Mission North, and their mascot is the Indians, right?
Yes.
And so why don't you describe to our audience what happened while you were there playing?
Well, At first, it was nothing bad. When I got there, we were warming up, and their mascots walked in. And at first, I was like, okay, you know, I knew this was going to happen, but we can, you know, make it through. And then towards the end of the game, we were shooting our free throws, and every time we would shoot, they would yell something. And I had heard, and more other people on the team had heard them yell, "Do it for your culture." I have had a lot of people saying that that wasn't true. But yeah, so I was upset about that. And every year we go, they do the tomahawk chop before the game, and they have like their school values are called like tribal tenets. And so just all of that was just really, disturbing. And this was our second time experiencing that, but this time it was a little bit more than what it usually was. And so I just decided to post about it, and I didn't really expect much from it, but.
Yeah, so it kind of, you know, a lot of people shared your post on Facebook. Do you know what your shares are at now on that video?
It is at 502.
Wow, yeah, so like a lot of people were out there, and not just in Lawrence, but across the country as well, because we have so many mascot issues that we deal with. So what tribe are you?
I am Dakota Sioux. I'm a member of the Assistin Wapton Dakota Oyate, and I'm also half Choctaw from the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma.
Awesome. Well, yeah, and so, you know, when you're there at the school, that school is also in your league, I guess,
play
them. And so so this was brought up, and this was Tuesday night this happened, and so on Wednesday, the Lawrence Intertribal Club, the Native American group at Lawrence High, decided to meet with the principal and talk about, I guess, taking, you guys have the banners of all the schools you guys play in your gym, and they talked about bringing it down. Why don't you tell us what happened after that?
Well, they had a meeting Wednesday, and they talked about things that we can do to show that we do not support their mascot. And so they had talked about taking down the banner and setting strict regulations. And then Friday morning was when we met with the athletic director. And he, right away, he was all for it, and he took care of it within the hour. So that was really supportive from our school.
Yeah, that was great news to see that out there, and not just in your student newspaper, but in the Lawrence Journal World covering that as well. Were you surprised at the outcome or the outpouring of support?
Yeah. At first, I was getting a lot of negative feedback, mainly from people not in this area. But once I started getting a lot of support from Lawrence, it really took off, and I was just so surprised and blown away with the amount of people that have supported me and told me, you know, thank you for sharing your voice. And it was very comforting.
Have you had any, have you spoken to anyone from Shawnee Mission North?
Not yet. But our club does plan to write a letter just kind of stating where we're coming from. But as of right now, we have not spoken to them.
All right. Well, you know, I teach at Haskell, but it's really inspiring to see our young people going out and doing this type of activism and voicing their opinions, and just, you know, it makes us really proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, having you guys out there and taking the lead on things like this, it shows that you guys really care, and I'm really glad that you guys, you know, you're having a lot of support with what you guys are doing. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yes, I have, you know, without the Intertribal Club, none of this would have happened. So with them just stepping up so quickly and taking action, it was amazing.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for being on the show, Madison. We're really proud of you guys.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
No problem. All right, that was Madison McKinney, and she's a senior at Lawrence High, and she she was playing basketball at the Shawnee Mission North High School last Tuesday, and their mascot is the Indians. And apparently they were, you know, doing some things, tomahawk chops, the usual native mascot issues that as American Indians that we face all the time. And she just did not appreciate it, and she videotaped it, and they went, and that video that she made and some pictures went viral on Facebook. And so since then, the school at Lawrence High has taken down the banner from Lawrence High in their gym. So there's an empty space there where Shawnee Mission North's banner should be. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure there's probably more going to be coming out of this, but it's really neat to see our young people taking the lead on issues like this. And I know it's tough. I know it's tough when you're a young person to do these types of things because you're afraid of you know, the feedback you're going to get, especially negative feedback that you'll get. And of course, that is going to happen. It is going to happen. So, you know, I was proud of these guys, and hopefully they'll support one another as they go through this. So congratulations for all those guys who are out there doing stuff like that. All right. Well, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And we'll get back into the music. And this is Fly.
Fun days for me growing up.
Aloha. Vahine Hawaii Vau.
Tasana Hohino Puhu.
Because
You know, we're talking for the future generations.
I'm Conroy Chino, introducing you to Living Voices, profiles of Native Americans and Native Hawaiians today. A member of the Spokane tribe, Charlene Teeters, received a graduate fellowship to study art at the University of Illinois. When she arrived on campus, she was confronted by the image of Chief Illini, the college mascot. She could have walked away, but instead she decided to fight the racism of Native stereotypes.
I've always been an artist. I come from a family of artists, but it was never anything that I thought I could do as a career. So going to school was about starting a new life. The art became a way to reinforce my identity as a Native woman. After I got my BFA at the College of Santa Fe, the University of Illinois was looking for participation in their art program. So I was one of the three Native students that they recruited. The three of us landed at this Big Ten university. Never thought to ask the question about what kind of mascot might you have. And this is a university of 35,000 students. But here we were in this community where everyone had these distortions of our identity on their t-shirts, on the buildings, on everything you could possibly print that image on. There was a bar called Home of the Drinking Illini, you know, where they had a falling down drunk Indian, where they had buck and squaw dances, that's what they termed them, in the sororities and fraternities. And a sorority had the Miss Illini Squaw Contest. And as an adult, we have tolerated these images all of our life. For me, the catalyst was my children, because I just couldn't be there and not address that issue. Once I opened my mouth, I was also targeted by this community. People harassed my children, called me, and drove by my house, and so forth. I wanted to leave. But, you know, the reason I stayed was the American Jewish Committee, one of their directors who records hate crime against Jewish Americans. He said that if you leave, they win. So I started to use my artwork as a weapon, instead of them using my cultural identity to hurt me and my family. I used my cultural identity as a weapon and as a way to protect myself. People ask me what my medium is, and I tell them that my medium is pop culture. I mine pop culture icons and images that come from mass media. I look for those images. People give me those images. What we endured in the 2 years that I stayed at the University of Illinois became the catalyst for the national movement. And my artwork started to use images that permeate the community. And actually, the University of Illinois was just an extreme example of the national problem, because almost every backyard, every city that I go to has something there which is their local definition of the national problem. And that problem is the use and abuse of Indians as mascots and symbols.
This interview with Charlene Teeters was conducted by Nancy Mithlow. Living Voices is a project of the Smithsonian Institution, National Museum of the American Indian. Executive producers Kevin Lewis and Elizabeth Weatherford. Project coordinator Nan Rubin. Writers Peggy Berryhill and Ginger Miles, mixed at Mercer Street Sound. For more information, check out our website at www.si.edu/NMAI. For Living Voices, I'm Conroy Chino.
Building Resistance, Japanese American Internment and the Fight Against a Muslim Registry, on Making Contact, Thursday afternoon at 12:30.
Hello, this is Valerie Andrus, board president here at KKFI, and I want to take a minute to thank you for tuning in to KKFI and to extend a very special thank you to those who donated during our last fund drive. Your donations are how we maintain our independence, and your generosity is appreciated by the volunteer board of directors, the programmers, committee members, and staff. And of course, all the other listeners appreciate it too. If you missed the opportunity to support KKFI during the fund drive, please go online to kkfi.org and make your donation now. From the KKFI family to yours, thank you.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on. But if you didn't know, today is that an anniversary of the executive order authorized in February 19th, 1942, which was the internment of Japanese Americans. And they were forced into relocation and incarceration in camps in the interior of the country, between 110,000 and 120,000 people of Japanese ancestry who lived on the Pacific coast. 62% of the internees were United States citizens. These actions were ordered by President Franklin D. Roosevelt shortly after the Imperial Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. So they were forced into these interior camps, one of which was actually on the Gila River Indian Reservation in Arizona. So they were forced to go live on the reservation with Native Americans, which at the time, I had never heard about this. One of my friends who's a faculty at ASU had let me know about that, and I was just really surprised. I never knew that had happened. And the funny thing is I went to school in Arizona, and I don't ever recall learning that in history, so I was just really shocked and surprised to see this happen, and especially since it was such a milestone in history, especially in Arizona's history, that we were never told about this. And so just really sad, anniversary. And a lot of my friends are Asian Americans, and so they've been tweeting and posting this on Facebook and with the hashtag Never Forget. And of course, I just wanted to mention this because it is an important thing to remember. A lot of people don't think about. All right. Well, like I said, we were interviewing Madison McKinney, a senior from Lawrence High, who went, and she's a basketball player at Lawrence High, and she was playing at Shawnee Mission North in last Tuesday, and their mascot is the Indians. And while she was there, she was hearing things that their students were doing during the game, and she videotaped it. And so her video went viral on Facebook. And since then, the Lawrence High Intertribal Club, the Native American group there at Lawrence High, they went and had a discussion with the principal and then the athletic director. And they have all the banners of the schools that they play in Lawrence High's gym. And on Friday, the athletic director agreed to take it down. So that was interesting to see, and good to see that support. Athletic director Bill DeWitt said it wasn't trouble to remove the banner. He said there are other symbols for Shawnee Mission North that they can use instead of the mascot. And he does Twitter too as well. And he said he recently stopped using the mascot's name in tweets. And he was quoted as saying, "When there's things we can do that directly have an effect, we do it. So that's why we adjusted the way we tweet." And so that's interesting to see that, this type of education is happening within the communities and educating others about the offensiveness of Native mascots, although some people may not think it is offensive. And it, I think until you're actually faced with this in your face, you understand why it's wrong, and seeing the way other students treat other students, it's not in a respectful manner. So this was really great news, and like Madison said, she said they haven't talked with Shawnee Mission North, and I guess they said they're going to write a letter explaining them to why it's offensive to them. So that's really great. I hope there's some dialogue that happens, because I know Shawnee Mission North is not very far away from here, so from the studio. So good job to those students. And again, like I said, it's just really inspiring to see our young people taking the lead on these roles to advocate against Native mascots. It's just really, really good to see that. Okay. Well, the Dakota Access Pipeline review has officially been canceled. A notice being published in the Federal Register announced the termination of an environmental impact statement, or the EIS, the final portion of the controversial project. The reason given was a simple one. Orders came from President Donald Trump. Quote, in light of the president's memorandum to the Secretary of Army dated January 24, 2017, published in the Federal Register on January 30, 2017, this notice advises the public that the Department of the Army, as lead agency, effective immediately, no longer intends to prepare an environmental impact statement in connection with the Dakota Access LLC's request to grant an easement to cross Lake Oahe, which is on the Missouri River and owned by the United States Army Corps of Engineers, the forthcoming document states. The cancellation marks another slight to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, whose leaders celebrated in December when the Obama administration said it was going to take another look at the pipeline crossing near the reservation in North Dakota. The EIS was to include a consideration of treaty rights, sacred rights, water resources, and other concerns. Quote, that's the one question the Corps of Engineers could not answer, Chairman Dave Archambault II said at the winter session of the National Congress of American Indians in Washington, D.C. this past Wednesday. What is that going to do to us? How is it going to impact our heritage, our culture, our language, our children? What is that going to do, he said, of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers? They couldn't answer. So, again, that notice was published this past Friday. The Trump administration has a completely different view. An Army Corps memorandum ordered in the wake of the president's directive concluded that an environmental assessment completed last summer was legally and technically sufficient, even if the tribe doesn't feel the same way. Based on the environmental assessment and finding of no significant impact from July 2016, quote, we have concluded that the Corps' Omaha district adequately considered and disclosed the environmental, cultural, and other potential impacts of its actions, and that its decisions were not arbitrary or capricious, the analyst states. We have also concluded that the supplementation of the EA to address any new information is not legally required at this time, the February 3rd memo continued. Standing Rock leaders aren't giving up, though. They filed new court papers seeking to set aside the approval of the final portion of the pipeline in hopes of preventing oil from flowing through their treaty lands. We don't feel this fight is over, Archambault said. The Trump administration approved the pipeline in the past week while the chairman was on his way to a meeting at the White House. In addition to fighting in court, Archambault is hoping to re-energize public support for the No DAPL movement, which quickly spread across Indian country and around the world last summer. The tribe is organizing a march on Washington on March 10th to let everyone know how indigenous people are still here. The whole movement is something that has been beautiful, he told NCAI. I can't describe it. So, unfortunately, they did cancel that EIS statement, and I guess that was the reason they felt it was something had already been discussed, so that was okay to them. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, so it's a terrible situation that is going on right now. So one of the water protectors who disarmed a Dakota Access Pipeline worker with an AR-15 is facing federal charges. On October 27th, a Dakota Access Pipeline worker pointed a loaded assault rifle at water protectors in Standing Rock. Brennan Nastasio peacefully de-escalated the situation. Now he faces state and federal charges. In December 2016, the state of North Dakota charged Nastasio with the Class C felony for, quote, terrorizing, quote, Kyle Thompson, the DAPL worker with the loaded AR-15. The court date for this charge has been pushed back to March 2017. While battling the state charge, Nastasio was notified of two additional federal charges, a civil disorder and use of firearm to commit a federal crime. After 3 days in jail on February 16th, the same judge declared he had sought advice on the case and he was going against his better judgment, but would grant Nastasio's release on several conditions. While awaiting trial, Nastasio has to live with an ankle monitor, abide by a strict 10 p.m. curfew, and not leave the city of Bismarck, North Dakota. Brennan is not from North Dakota, and while he has built a strong community during his 6 months with the Water Protectors at Standing Rock, his partner, his family, his friends, and his network of support all reside outside of North Dakota. Nastasio commented, "I turned myself in again because I'm innocent. I have done nothing but to act to save people's lives. I am going to comply with all the restrictions the judge gave me and prove to him I am an asset to society." A trial date has not been set for Nastasio at the point for his federal court hearing. This means he will be living under these conditions indefinitely. "The system is trying to make it impossible for me to succeed," added Nastasio, "but I have been helped by supporters, and with that I will succeed. I am hoping my restrictions will be relaxed so I can go see my son graduate high school in June." Nastasio, he has to stay up there and wait. And again, the charge of terrorizing somebody else with an AR-15 is kind of weird. So yes, that's what's going on in North Dakota. All right, and I just wanted to let you guys know there's a gardening summit planning meeting, producing ideas for a tour. It's a Dene summit, promises to have an agenda packed with gardening and planting concepts, insightful discussion on food sovereignty and security, nutrition, resiliency, community garden challenge, and so much more. The Food and Gardening Summit, which is in its final planning stages, is scheduled for April 6th through the 8th. Continuing bringing health and wellness to the forefront on the Navajo Nation. Navajo Nation Vice President Jonathan Nez have been steadily developing the agenda for that Dene summit. "When it comes to changing in a good way the Navajo's people way of thinking is to encourage farming. There's a lot of teaching in farming." So I will let you guys know a little bit more. I think I'll probably even add the link for this podcast so you guys can check it out if you really, really want to check it out. I think that's really great that we're having people do more farming. Excellent. All right. Well, that's all your news across Indian country. And we will get back to the music. Thank you for tuning in for Native Spirit Radio, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Yo, yo, no way, yo, way, yo, 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 la la ya na no hey hey la la ya 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 hey hey yo 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 hey hey yo yo no way yo hey yo lo yo yo hey hey we yo hey 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 yo ne ho ka pa ka ke ne jo ne jo ne ko i sa to e yo we yo we e e we yo we e e lo le la ya na no he ne le yo, 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 hey, 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 hey. Yo, yo, no, yo, hey, yo, 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 hey, 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 yo, hey, 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 yo, 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 hey, 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 yo, yo, no, yo, hey, yo, 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 hey, 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 hey,
Sidestep, and I received this song from my uncles, and it's a generation song. It's been passed down. It's a woodland song, and I can always remember when my mother and my aunts and my uncles, they used to go to a place back at home called PV Falls, and they'd have the real 49. There was no alcohol involved. The elders would set up a feast. And when the men were done with their food and the women were done eating and the children were done eating, they used to set up their drum and sing many of these songs. And every time I see and hear these songs and I see the women dancing out there, it reminds me of my mother and my aunts and the good times that we used to have.
Building Resistance, Japanese American Internment and the Fight Against a Muslim Registry, on Making Contact, Thursday afternoon at 12:30.
Hello, this is Valerie Andrus, Board President here at KKFI, and I want to take a second to thank you for tuning in to KKFI and to extend a very special thank you to those who donated during our last fund drive. In any organization, there are a small number of individuals who do most of the heavy lifting, and your donation is keeping KKFI independent into the future. If you missed your opportunity to call in during the fund drive, please join the valued members of the community who maintain this radio station's survival. Go online to kkfi.org and make your donation now. From the KKFI family to yours, thank you.
All right, this is Rhonda. Thank you for tuning in to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for Sunset Reggae coming up for you next, so stay tuned on this. I'll be leaving you off with some Cheevers Topaw. Everybody have a wonderful week, and I will see you again next Sunday.
Yeah.